from here on in, it really gets grim. For 99% of the people still left at this point, they're possessed with one thing: finishing. They're saying to themselves, if I can be standing at the finish, I've won. And they're right. But for the gifted few, for our 1% that are still competing, that are still racing, they're more than standing. They're wondering, can I catch that guy up there? What about the guys behind me? Are they gonna get me? Are they coming on me? Are they picking up on me? Can I get him? Because let me tell you something. This is it. The last hour of this triathlon, on the pavement at 110 degrees, that's when we're going to find out who the hell the Iron Man really is.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob
Babbitt. Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott, Run Catalina, the Catalina Marathon coming up on March 10th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, donatecaf.org. Last year, we sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, the 2017 Ironman World Champion, joining us from his secret hideaway in Germany, Mr. Patrick Lange. Patrick, how are you?
I'm very good. It's always a great announcement if you announce people. That's so great. Yeah, so thanks for having me.
No problem, Patrick. So first of all, when you come to Kona for the first time in 2016 and come off the bike in 23rd after a penalty and then run your way into third place, run a 2:39.45 off the bike and break the course record, how did that, and get third place on the podium, all German podium behind Jan Frodeno and Sebastian Kienle, how did getting third change your life, or did it?
Oh, it did, it did. Because for me, it was coming like from almost no sponsorships at the end of 2015. To a whole new level. And at the end of 2015, I was at the edge to end my career, and with that, yeah, let's call it breakthrough performance in Kona 2016. It opened so many doors to help me to get through the next years as a professional sports person, and so yeah, it helped and it changed my life completely. So. Now I can do what I ever dreamt of, and I'm so happy to have the possibility and the chance to do what I love since that. Yes.
So even though you'd had some success, you'd been successful in racing Ironman Texas and other places, going into Kona 2016, you didn't know if you would continue on as a professional athlete after that year?
No. After Ironman Texas, I was pretty sure that I can carry on, and Ironman Texas is one of the biggest races in our sport, and it's also well recognized in Europe. So even with that race, it would help me to find new sponsorships, and it also boosts my my self confidence.
Yes.
To go into talkings and stuff like that. So after Texas, I was pretty sure, okay, that's going to help a lot forward. Yeah.
So we've seen a lot of athletes over the years who run their way into the top 10, or, you know, they're back in 18th or 20th place and they finish ninth. And they tend to, you know, have these great runs. But there's a difference between having a great run, and you showed that this year. You ran again. You came off the bike, around 10 minutes behind Lionel Sanders, who had a great race and ran a 2:51 marathon off the bike, even though he didn't look like he was running that well. He still ran 2:51 off the bike. And
he still is really fast.
Huh? Yes!
Mentally, he's
very tough.
He crushed it. Yeah.
But you had to run again, I mean, 2:39.59. You had to run that fast to end up winning the race by just like 2:27 or so. There's a difference between running fast to get in the top 10 and running fast to win the most important race in our sport. When you were running along, did you feel there was a difference from the year before? Because when you're running to get the podium, that's great, but there's more cameras when you're running towards the lead and actually win the race. Did you feel more pressure this time?
No, I didn't feel much more pressure, because I think pressure is always something that is generated from the outside, and so I tried to keep it a little bit like away from my perspective.
Uh-huh.
So I tried to focus on my own, and I also had like good talkings with Ferris before the race that I have to stay within myself, and if I, let's say, it just execute my performance,
uh-huh,
and just do what I'm capable of, then I'm always good for a top five position.
Right.
And even like coming out of the injury and the beginning of the year with 3 months almost no training, I didn't put too many pressure on myself, because I thought, okay, I trained really good, and the results of the training was not like, it was not on perfect shape, everything. It was just all right. And I was going into the race and just thinking of, let's execute the best race I can do. And honestly, you always hear that, but never give up, and just don't let you put down when you are like 10 minutes behind, or if you're in 20th position.
Right.
Because I mean, if I can tell you that it's possible to run from 23rd
yes,
position up to the podium, no one can. So I just stick to myself, and
sure,
I believed in my race plan. So even if the bike part was really bad for me, so let's face it, my bike performance was not anywhere close where it like needs to be. I was really unhappy with that, but there's still a lot of room for improvements, I think. Yeah.
So when you mentioned the 3 months that you were dealing with injuries and setbacks, talk a little bit about that, because you're coming off a third place. I'm sure you're very excited to get back to training for this year.
Oh, yeah.
And when we were chatting in New York, you're talking about you didn't really know what was going on for a long time, right? You had something wrong, but you really didn't know what it was. Well, take me through the process of figuring out what was going on with your body.
It all started in January, and my first training camp in South Africa, and everything was new. Like I had Erringer on my side, a new sponsor. I had so many great new possibilities, and I was really, really motivated. So I really pushed hard in the training, and I tried out some new bike shoes, some new pedals, and to gain that little extra advantages. Honestly, I forgot a little bit about the recovery by doing
right.
that. And I was just out of balance. And I think we are on the top level, and if you're just a tiny little bit out of balance, it can change so quickly. So I had a little like a little pain in my foot, and I thought, oh, that's not a big deal. So just keep training, and you want to prove that that this race was not just a single day
right.
event, like
you weren't a flash in the pan. You weren't just a one timer.
Yeah, I wanted to prove that I'm not a one timer, because in Germany we have so many great athletes. So the media is really fast in saying, this was his first really Ironman because Texas was a little bit too short and blah blah blah. And
right.
I wanted to prove them really wrong, and I was focused. I was really, pushing, and I think I was over pushing a little bit. So at the end of February, I needed to stop training because I couldn't run, and I also had psychology was down. So I was, even if I was able to swim, I was sitting at the pool and talking to my coach, and was like, I can't fall asleep. I just don't want to get into the water because I'm so tired.
Wow.
And so it really killed me.
Yeah.
And we couldn't really find out. We saw
in the test?
In the
like the
picture,
blood test?
Like
oh,
the bones,
yeah. Uh-huh.
The
MRI or X-rays?
MRI, exactly, MRI. We saw that there is a bone bruise in my foot, but the whole tiredness and the whole I was visiting a friend for a birthday party, and during lunchtime I was sleeping with my face on the table. Really, I was just smashed, and I wasn't training that time for 2 or 3 weeks. So normally you say, okay, you're recovered.
But sure,
I was done, and then it took me 8 doctor visits to figure out or to find the right guy who can really help me.
Yeah,
and that guy figured out that I had some sort of a quicksilver and lead poisoning,
yes.
which I didn't knew before that this is even possible. And
what was it from? What did they feel the lead poisoning was from?
I had some fillings in my teeth.
Yes.
A really old fillings. It is a quicksilver lead combination. And so we had to remove this because I also, due to the stress, I was grinding my teeth during the night, so
the fillings are going into your bloodstream.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly. And then also we found out that when we were in the training camp, you're 3 guys in training camp with Ferris, and you think, yeah, okay, you're really short on time, so you put some pasta and you have some tomato sauce and always put tuna in it.
Right.
So you eat 3-4 cans of tuna a day, and we just figured out that this is the worst thing you can do because it the cans are in aluminium, and
right.
all the fishes are so overloaded with lead and all that. Other heavy metal
mercury
stuff.
And things and like that. Yeah,
exactly. So and it was just too much to handle for my body. So
wow. So when you
the
cut,
doctor
when,
had me to get rid of it,
uh-huh.
and after 2 or 3 treatments, I was able to run again. So
wow.
That also opened that blew my mind. So now I'm. I was vegetarian before, but I was eating fish. So now I canceled the fish completely, and it changed just a lot of things. Just to even watch out more for good food, biological food, and stuff like that. So it changed just so much again, even in areas where I thought I was like good. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I always thought, okay, I eat fish. I'm eating healthy.
Right.
But it wasn't that was simply
it wasn't
not
the case. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So, I learned a lot. Yeah.
When were you able to get back to training to feel like yourself?
8 weeks before Frankfurt, actually.
Wow.
8 weeks. I had 8 weeks to prepare, and this is yeah. If you, I mean. If I'm looking back on the performance
uh-huh.
in Frankfurt, it was a 7:52, I guess,
yeah.
and even with a 2:49 marathon, and I was like, I was walking. The second part of the marathon, I was more walking than running, and I really was not happy with the performance right after the race.
Yeah,
but if I look back. Especially not with the position, because Ivan Tutukin, he outsprinted me on the finish line, and he's honestly not that guy that I wanted to be oversprinted by
right.
Or lose any race against. We know all, I think, what I'm talking about. So I was really unhappy with that, but with my performance, I was really happy. Even when I look back now, so if you get this result out of 8 weeks
yeah.
proper training and not even really proper training, it was training to get like we were really like, okay, let's get you over that finish line to validate for Kona.
Right, that's so, all you needed to do, just get across the
yeah.
finish line to validate. And what a lot of people might not realize, especially people in the States, is how important Ironman Frankfurt is for the German athletes, and actually for all athletes, because it's always such yeah. a stacked field. But you know, you have Sebastian Kienle, and this last year, Jan Frodeno did not race, and I know that takes away a little bit because you want your two-time defending Ironman champion to be there. This year, you've already committed to Ironman Frankfurt, and you're basically saying, hey, I'm going to be there. I'm defending Ironman champion. Come race. I want the best guys here.
Yes. We say, like, open helmet. If you say it in English, I don't know. So,
yeah. Open book.
I'm open book.
I'm an open book. Here, you can. Here's what I'm doing. There's no,
yes.
I'm not going to wait
no
till
hiding.
I'm not
no,
hiding.
No.
I'm the Ironman world champion,
yes.
and I want the best
yes.
guys
yes.
to come here. And
exactly.
if you knock me off, you knock me off.
Yes, exactly. So this is why we announced it that early, and I'm pretty happy actually that Jan is also
yes.
Joining the race as well. So
yep.
It's gonna be a really tough one, also with Patrick Nielsen in the race, and so and it's my home race, you know. So I just live 20 kilometers away.
Wow! So you train on that
place.
Course?
So I. So I train there. I swim in the lake once a week, and it's just my place. So I want to. Win in my hood.
Win in my hood. I like it. So as the you took third the year before, and I remember you saying when you I think you got off the plane and all your friends were there after you got third and you ended up flying out to be on one of the big TV shows, that was for third. So this time you win the race. What happened at home when you got home after winning?
It was crazy. Almost like I didn't count them all, but I think it was like at least 100 people waiting for me. I think I showed the picture to you.
Yes.
It was just crazy. There were like 20 different 20 like media teams
yep.
with cameras, and it was just. It was amazing. It's I didn't I didn't expect to see that many faces at the airport, so they were really crazy.
Yeah, but, that's great.
It got me all almost to cry.
So
really emotional.
And the other thing that you did this year, besides running 2:39 for the second year in a row, you also broke Craig Alexander's course record, and you went 8:01. Did you even have a feel for, you're trying to win the race and you caught Lionel, 24 miles, something like that. So I'm guessing you're not thinking about course record. You're thinking about trying to win the race. When did you realize?
Exactly.
When did you realize that, oh my God, I just broke the course record?
I know that, the race is just over when you're crossing the finish line. So.
Yep.
Even when I passed Lionel, I saw the clock on the leading car,
uh-huh.
and it said like I think it was 7:40.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's I'm not good in math, but that was a calculation that I could do, and I was like, okay, that's a fast time. So, but it was just one thought, and it just like put it away. And focused again on running, and I didn't even think about breaking a record. I just knew, okay, if you're not stopping, if you're not cramping, if you're executing what you're doing, you're gonna be fast. But I didn't expect to be that fast. So it was also kind of a big surprise when I was running towards the finish line. I saw the clock ticking, and it's like 8:01. So, okay, first thing you're thinking of is like, okay, maybe the clock is not running well.
Right.
It's not running on time. Maybe they start 10 minutes too late or something. That was really what was going through my mind, and then. Yeah, Mike Reddy said, listen, this is a new course record. I was like, oh my God. It was just too much to handle. For me, as an emotional person, I was really, okay, you're kidding me. Yeah, really, you're kidding me.
So then this, just about, in earlier December, we were all in New York for the premiere of the Ironman NBC show. And so you're sitting 10 feet from a huge screen with basically showing you win this big race. That has to be a little bit surreal to be, even though you've seen photos, you've seen video, but to see this, this Emmy award-winning show that you're a huge part of, how cool was, and the red carpet and just that whole evening?
Oh, yeah, the whole evening was just amazing. We don't have that here in over in Europe, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, and, they don't. They don't do like a premiere of the TV show because they show it live, right?
And the Ironman Foundation is not that big in
right.
Europe, and
right.
I think we need to start that here as well because it's just a great way to give back, and
uh-huh.
If I'm able to push that in Europe, I'm glad to do it. But we need to push it a little bit. Maybe
yes.
Maybe your show helps.
But, yeah, here we go.
It was such a special feeling, not just to see myself on that big screen, and it was such a cool atmosphere. So you have that. Audience, I think it was 250
uh-huh.
people or something.
Yeah,
and
I think you're right.
They were really, they were so emotional. They were clapping, they were crying, they were shouting. Every time when I was on the screen, it was like a big applause and a big like yell through the whole audience. It was just like, that was really what was touching me the most. To see like the pure emotions of what you can like do with people, and
right.
That was just a great, just such a great experience. And like on top of that, I think we raised $160,000.
Yes.
And which is like, I mean,
that's very cool.
That's pretty awesome for one evening, I think.
You know what? You need to find a little theater in your hometown and do a viewing party. That would be pretty fun.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But we need to find it. We have to say.
Maybe before Frankfurt.
We have to talk to the agency.
Before Frankfurt, that would be fun to do. How fun would that be? Do that the week leading in. Have a little viewing party in Frankfurt or something like that. Oh, yeah, I'll get on that.
Whatever brings the most money for the foundation then, huh?
There you go. So the plan for this year, obviously you're doing Frankfurt and defending your title in Kona. What else will you be doing this season?
So yeah, I'm just glad to start out now in January, February with some training camps because it's been a really good time. The experiences and a lot of meetings to do, so I'm just happy to get back to training. And I will do. So March, April, May is a little bit of a black spot in the calendar, so we didn't figure out yet what I will do there. So what we know for sure is that I'm going to race 70.3 Kreisgau 1 month before Ironman Frankfurt. Then I do Frankfurt. I need to recover a little bit, build up again. And I think I will do the same like the last 2 years, just after the build-up at altitude camp. I will go beginning of September to 70.3 race. That might be Rügen. And then after, I go to my family in Texas and train there with a solid group and come over to Kona and...
Hopefully defend your title, yes. So did you hear from Craig Alexander after you broke the course record?
Yeah, we met, actually, and we also met a couple of times. In 2016, we met in 2017. We raced the 70.3 Philippines where he catched me on the last 5Ks.
No way! Was that this year?
Yeah, it was pretty funny because... Yeah, I raced 70.3 Philippines, Subic Bay, I think it was March 2016, and I broke the bike course record, just saying.
Yeah, very good.
I fell apart on the run. So I was leading for like 15K, and then Crow catched me. So he was giving me a good lesson there. It was helping a lot to improve for Ironman Texas. So the next race after Philippines was Ironman Texas, which I won. So and we met after the race and had a little chat, and it was, he's a great person. I really like him, and I think he was happy with it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All of our Mark Allen and Dave Scott, we've got some legends in our sport. They're all about... the records are meant to be broken. That's what they're there for. They're basically a stand. So hopefully one day someone will run, in under 2:35. That's where and go sub 8 hours there. That's what eventually we hope all that happens. So from when you think back to before you won Ironman Texas, when you weren't sure if this is maybe I should be getting a real job and not quite sure if the triathlon is going to be where I'm going to be spending my time, to where you are now, if someone had told you back then, you know what, if you're just patient, you're gonna go win Ironman Texas, and then you're gonna go third in Kona, and then the following year you're gonna win Kona, what would you have said?
I mean, that guy or that person would have talked like deep out of my soul, you know what I mean? So deep down inside of me, I knew that I'm capable of at least like bigger things. So
right.
If I wouldn't believe that I have the strength to at least like win an Ironman, not saying winning Ironman Kona, but at least like be good at it,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be there. So, I mean, it would have been like a crazy, crazy thought, and I definitely would call him a little bit crazy.
Yes, yes.
But on the other hand, I mean, it was like I was always like dreaming of it, and we always say if you can dream it, you can do it. I think that's true, and yeah,
love that. And how important has Faris Al Sultan, the 2005 Ironman World Champion, how important has he been? You know, not just as a coach, but as a mentor.
Very much. So he's a really important person. Maybe the most important person of the last 3 years. Because I think there's just so many trust in mm-hmm. his personality and in his
yep.
coachings, and he's not a crazy scientific coach. He's just Faris. If you know him, he's just Faris, even
right.
in his coaching. He's
yes.
like, and we have just a good level of talking. We talk on the same level, and he just gives me the good feeling to do the right thing, and sometimes he can like put the brake a little bit in the right time,
yep.
but also he's just a little bit over the things, if you know what I mean. So he had been so many times in Kona that I just simply like if he says okay Patrick, what can happen, just You did everything you can do,
right?
And you're just well prepared. Just trust to it, and it's just giving me a different feeling, as if this would come from my father. You know, it's
right.
just
yeah, that's very true.
Just a different level. So
love that.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick, thank you so much for taking so much time and chatting. I love having you as our Ironman World Champion. I think you really represent what the Ironman's all about. And I love the fact that you basically said, I'm going to go to Ironman Frankfurt. Ironman World Champion, coming to Frankfurt. If you want to knock me off, here I am. That's great for the sport, right? It's better for the sport when the best people race each other, because then it creates excitement for everybody. Hey, what's been the biggest surprise for you through all of this, in terms of either, you know, doing something that you never thought you'd do or meeting someone you never thought you'd meet? What, has there been one thing that has surprised you through this journey?
Oh, so much. so many great personalities and persons, and so many great places
yes.
I was able to visit, and I couldn't name like a single one. I mean, even going to New York and
yes
and hang out with great athletes and seeing great show, I'm just so grateful for that, and I'm grateful for every meeting I was able to do, because every single meeting, even if the mess of appearances and meetings was really a big load of work.
Right.
But everything itself got some little positive edges.
Sure.
You know? And
yeah.
it was all every little interview, even if it was like for a small local newspaper, everything like puts me a little step forward.
Exactly.
And so I see a lot of positive things, and I think that it's building my personality, also like putting me like step to step forward in my also in my sporting performance. So I think that that sporting performance and personality goes hand in hand, and it's just like I said, I'm just grateful for that possibility.
I remember interviewing Craig Alexander once, and we were talking about as the champion, there's more demands on your time, and he said, "But I like that because if they weren't wanting to talk to me, it would be because they weren't expecting anything from me. But as the champion or as somebody who could be the champion, there's, I am hoping there's demands on my time because that's good for me. It's good for my sponsors. That's why I'm here. If people don't care that I'm here, that's, you know, that doesn't do me any good. So, you know, that's, I love the fact that you're embracing that because that is, you know, you, it, as the winner of the Ironman, you're sort of an ambassador for the sport, and embracing that role is
that's
important.
That's where I see myself, and I really like the attitude of Crowe.
Yes.
By saying that, he's 100% correct. So, and I'm grateful to experience this by like for my own, you know.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Patrick, thank you so much for taking so much time. Always a pleasure. Patrick Lange has been our guest. We are brought to you by ToughManTry.com, VeloFix.com, ATV Swim Spas, official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott, RunCatalina.com, our Challenged Athletes Foundation, DonateCF.org. We have sent out 18,000 grants and raised over $80 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.